Like a very like muted Mrs. Doubtfire instead of hello, it was how is everyone doing? This is family chat. It's Thursday here. It's Thursday where you are too. Let us know who you are, where you're watching from.
Might not be in the Philippines.
It's Thursday somewhere.
And then yeah.
How's everyone? Yes, please share this broadcast, like it. Let someone know that we are live because we have an on-time word for you today.
Yes.
But before we do all of that, we're going to talk.
Yeah, well, also, guys, yesterday was Serena's birthday, but today is Joni's. So please say happy birthday to her. Put a roast in the comments if you would like. Your favorite roast. Also, hi, Dad.
Hi.
Hello. I feel like he just somehow shows up when I'm on sometimes. He's just like, I can feel it. She's on today. I'm gonna come on. But anyway, yes, say happy birthday to Joni. And good to see you guys. Comment, let us know who you are, where you're watching from. Also, Hannah has an excellent family chat question. So,
are you ready? I didn't come up with it, but anyways, first I want to say hi to people. Hi, Serena, and hi, Juliet. Hello,
hi.
Mr. Mark, Brother Mark.
Brother Mark.
I said Mr. Mark, and I was like, wait, that feels like Mr. Mark from Church's name.
Mr. Mark feels like Mark Presley.
Yeah.
And Brother Mark feels like
Brother
my dad.
Mark.
But honestly, it swaps. Some people call Mark Presley Brother Mark. And
that's true.
Joni calls him that. When she says Brother Mark, I'm like, Dad?
No, Dad?
Dad?
Hi, Matthew. Hi, Pastor Danielle and Johnny. Good to see you all. So the question today is, and I did not come up with it. So she said it was an excellent question. Let it be known. It was not my idea, though. I can't take credit. But I have a feeling that the opinionated people will rise up. So when you watch a movie or a TV show, are you someone who wants subtitles on? Or do you want to watch the movie without any subtitles? And please let us know who you are in the comments and why your opinion might be wrong. No, I'm just kidding.
And opinions go.
What do you think?
What do I think? If I am like 100% awake and this is something that I'm watching that I need to follow, subtitles on.
Okay.
Always.
Cool.
It helps me to understand what's going on.
Same.
If this is just like chill, like not really that important, like not like a movie or something, then I won't use subtitles.
Really?
Yeah, that's my answer.
That's a good answer.
I usually, if it's like YouTube and they're explaining me like how toothpaste works, like I probably don't need subtitles for that. But if it's like an action movie, like, yeah, I want subtitles on.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Okay, Abby said, I think it was up there, but I remember what it said. She said, I want subtitles with a period after every word, so it's very serious. Courtney says no subtitles. Juliet said no, no subtitles.
No, Holly's, no.
Wow.
No, no.
Holly says subtitles off. George says subtitles off wow. unless it's Tenet. I've never seen that movie.
Oh my gosh. Don't even, like the Tenet or Tenet, whatever. I don't know if it has the, it is the most confusing movie my eyes have ever laid, they've never been laid on. Like it was, it was like, it was almost as bad as when Kevin Buck, if you're out there, I love you, when he tried to explain to me the difference between the internet and a network. Like, that was a really confusing tech question for me. Like, he talked to me about it for about 45 minutes, and then he just gave up. And I was like, Kevin, just, it's fine. We can just let it go. But the Tenet, actually, the Tenet was way worse than that. Like, the it's really bad.
I've
like,
never seen it.
Have you ever seen Inception? Yes. It's like that, but, like, 10 times more confusing.
I enjoy stuff like that. You don't think so? I think the reason I liked Inception is because it's more like, You can kind of pick what you think it is. Like, you can be like, I think everything worked out in the end. And then you can just not think about it again.
But imagine, though, that the whole time you don't know what's going on.
Well,
it's
I don't
rough.
Know how I like that.
So some people's brains just, like, some people tend it, like,
some
clicks.
People.
For me, it has not. But also just, like, time travel in general has not fully made sense to me. Because, like Pastor says, Pastor Brian says, like, my thinking is very, like, lateral and, like, connection-based. And this is not. This is so, even the Terminator, I was like, no, guys, this doesn't make sense. Even with the Terminator. But, anyway, that's another topic. Okay.
Holly says, if I wanted to read, I would read a book. Johnny says, no subtitles. Tabitha says, I like subtitles. Sometimes you don't understand what they say, even if you can hear it.
Yes. Especially 100%. If there's an accent.
Oh, for sure. Pastor Danielle says, can we just start with movie or series? Let's just not watch the series. I don't like subtitles unless I'm watching a foreign film. What? You don't like subtitles at all? Where English is not spoken. Okay, so like, I was going to say like dubbed, but that's like anime and stuff. Okay, Matthew says, a lot of background noise is the only time I need subtitles. Interesting. Barrett says, I feel like once you have children, subtitles stop becoming optional.
Because of the noise?
I'm ready to go then. I'm trained. Lisa says, Sammy has me where I want subtitles. So you weren't, and now you are.
Once you start, you don't really want to stop.
It's true.
It's something like you don't like it at first, but once you start using subtitles, it just, you get used to them.
Maybe this will
everything.
Help you. Lewis says, internet is the world, network is your home. Does that help?
Yeah. I think so.
Pastor Brian says, those are two of his favorite movies, and add Interstellar, and you have the trifecta. So, per Emily Denton, I'm not allowed to watch Interstellar until I'm with her. So,
you've not seen it?
No, I've never seen it.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Really good. That one, there are a few times even in that one where I'm like, what's going on here? I'm not fully understanding. But anyway, okay.
Serena says, I had not liked time travel movies because every movie changes the rules of time travel. That's a good point. It's an inconsistent. But that's where the fun comes in, where you can kind of make your own opinion of it as you're watching it. Abby said, subtitles in life would be great. Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Especially around here.
Especially around Abby. Abby, you. You. In the morning.
The intensity is rising in the room, guys.
Abby, like, in the morning or at night, her volume goes down so much.
We're going to the green screen.
We're going to Abby, guys.
Don't hold back.
What?
I'm so impressed.
What is happening?
Am I even plugged in?
Yeah.
Excuse me. I'm still finishing my breakfast right now. But no, around Marky, there needs to be subtitles. That's
Wait.
All.
Like, you're saying I need the subtitles?
Huh?
You're saying because I need them?
Yes.
Like when you were
yes.
talking, I need them?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Listen.
The amount of times what is said during one day is so much. It's so much.
That I don't hear.
Yes, yes. That you say, what? What?
Actually,
what?
It was
and then at some points, you just like stare blankly at me. And I was like, You didn't hear me, did you? You're like, no, I just didn't want to say what one more time.
Well, and Abby has, it's a really bad combination because Abby has such a soft voice just when she's, like, just chill. Like, here, when she comes on, Family Chat or different things, she's like, hello, and she has this great volume. But at home, it's like 1%. Like, it's, I mean, that's an exaggeration, but it's like, especially in the morning, I don't know why, but also, am I the only one that sometimes in the morning, it seems like I don't hear as much. It's like my ears have to, like, wake up and demonstrate what I have to work with. Wait, like, how does she? She's like, okay. Well, make sure it opens, the gate, or sound gate opens. But she's like, hey. Hi. I don't know. Can you do it?
I can't get
up. You can't. It's so soft, guys. So a lot of times in the morning or at night, I'm like, I don't know what you're saying right now.
I want to just think about the intensity that rose from Abby about 5 minutes ago when this got brought up.
Well done.
I'm getting an applause from Barrett. I don't think I've ever seen her that passionate about anything other than Jesus. So also apparently... we got our 100th commenter of the day. It goes to, is it the above or below? I feel like I haven't announced it in a while. I don't want to give it to the wrong person.
Above.
Okay, it goes to Courtney Freitas. Congratulations, Courtney. You can claim your gift at whatsright.com/gift. And since you're a no subtitle person, we actually revoke that. And you can't, no, I'm just kidding. You can totally get it. You can totally get it. But, okay, Brother Mark. No. Abby says, Brother Mark, spicy chicken sandwich.
Yes. He asked what she was eating.
I was like, what? When did we start talking about spicy chicken?
Yeah, he asked what she was eating. Yeah, but
Holly says, I'm enjoying the chat is having one conversation. They're having another in the studio. That usually happens. Honestly, I like the questions that kind of bring out a bunch of different subtopics. Those are usually the best questions.
Like milk.
Yeah.
Strawberry, chocolate milk.
Don't get me started on strawberry milk.
Do you like it?
No. To me, strawberry milk is the equivalent of like if I crushed up flowers and stirred it in milk and then drank it.
It sounds lovely.
No, it doesn't.
You, out of all people, though, normally you like lovely things. Tell me I'm wrong.
You're not wrong.
Drinking a cup of crushed up flowers doesn't sound like something you would like.
If it was tea.
Tea?
Yeah.
Tea is dainty.
But
dainty.
Also, tea. Your favorite color is pink.
Okay. Well, it's true. I can't deny it. But, okay, let's read some comments because I want this away from me now. Rebecca says, subtitles get on my nerves. What? Is that the question, whether you like them or not?
Wait, who said that? Oh, Becca?
Becca, yeah. She says they get on her nerves. Sometimes
really?
If I don't have subtitles on, I genuinely feel like they're not speaking my language. Like, it really helps level me in the moment. Otherwise, it's just gibberish.
The only problem with subtitles... is when the movie, like let's say you're watching a movie and someone starts speaking in Spanish, and the movie itself has subtitles in, and it'll take the Spanish just for a moment and put it into English so you can read it. What normally happens though to then the TV subtitles is it'll cover it and say, speaking in Spanish. And I'm like, I can't see what they're actually saying because the subtitles are blocking it. My dad said, that's not allowed, Sister Abby, as a breakfast food. Who does that sound like? Who does that sound like? I have literally told Abby that before. Like, she'll just start eating, like, salmon for breakfast, and I'm like, no, you are not allowed to eat that right now.
Ever since being friends with Abby, I've come to embrace savory foods for breakfast.
I'm starting to. Also, why was napkin just thrown at me? Because the subtitles do that when the...
What?!
It'll be like, the gun will go
excellent translation.
You guys can't hear Pastor Zach, so I'm trying to, like, I'm trying to explain what he's saying, but I'm not fully getting it. So
oh my god,
I'm not doing a great job.
Have you ever seen that?
No, I have. Yeah, he said you have ever seen it.
I said I have. No, we've read it.
Okay, Emily said, this is a great, great comment. Emily said, I will say, sometimes subtitles ruin plot twist moments. You read the
line. That's true.
I hate that. Like, you read the line before they deliver it. It's like on, like, a we were watching Beast Games.
Oh, and
it, like,
you who
it
won.
Tells you, like, it, like, a second before you hear it, it's like, it comes up on the screen.
That's
like,
true.
This person won.
That's true.
But...
Well, this has been fun.
It has been fun. We need to go over to declarations and what's the word? Because it's time for the other things, but I'm like really wanting to stay in family chat right now because I'm also enjoying my dad roasting Abby. Do you guys see where I get it from? Everybody who's watching right now, who has watched me roast people. I get it from my dad, as you can see it, right? Barrett
well,
said 100%. What?
I just said that my point, because I usually feel like you're most like your dad.
Though your mom.
She said, Barrett said, although my mom can dish it, too. My mom was always so sweet my whole life. And then all of a sudden, she just started roasting me, like, and it hurt. Like, it was a lot, Mom, but I'm kidding. But okay, let's go over the declarations right now with Abby, and then we're getting into what's the word. Bye.
Everyone, in case you're wondering, the room is still roasting me for my chicken sandwich for breakfast, so thank you for that. We're going on to declarations right now, so let's declare the word of God over our lives because our words have power. They carry with them an authority and a power. Everything that we say, that's why the word says we will be judged for every idle word because our words carry power. So let's use that power mixed with the word for just the most ultimate, just amazing time. Are you ready? All right, let's declare the word of God. First one of the day. We're waiting. There we go. Say this out loud with me. We walk in the fullness of faith, hope, and love. We win souls. We love righteousness, hate sin, walk in holiness, and are anointed by God. Amen. Next one. This is our year of the fire. Amen. Grab a hold of those today. Apply faith and receive them right now as we go into What's the Word. It's going to be an awesome broadcast. So if you haven't already, please like it, share it, and subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. And just an extra secret tip is you can hit that little bell button somewhere underneath this video, and it'll notify you every single time we go live. It'll just put a notification on your phone so you don't have to like search YouTube or type in the name of the channel or anything. You can just click on the notification. It'll bring you right here. And we love seeing you on here every single day. All right, see you in a minute. Welcome to Lunch Plus here on the Brian Wright YouTube channel. Comment, tell us who you are, where you're watching from, so that way we can say hello to you. And it's been an awesome day. We're about to hop into the Word in just a moment, talking about why seeking family and unity is key to God's blessings. It's going to be a great day. Seth is here. Brother Mark is here. Hannah's here. Pastor Danielle, the beautiful, the wonderful, your wife, she's here.
She's That's a joke.
Sure, sure.
She understands it. Like, for instance, she doesn't like this one, but I care for you greatly.
She also sent me a message today telling me how much she loved me and how thoughtful and different things I was.
No,
and
Pastor, she did not.
She did, too.
It had one little sentence in there.
No.
That's,
okay. No. And then Pastor Zach's response back was, man, you could have just said yes or no, so that way she wouldn't have had to read a whole paragraph. It was such a nice, kind message. You're so sassy today. Joni Bjorkren, it's your birthday. Happy birthday, Joni. Rebecca is here. Hello. Rebecca Ann Bellbeard. Doug is here. The Georges are watching. Hello, Mr. Doug. Hello, Miss Kelly. Emily Denton's here. Tabitha is watching right down the road. Pastor Danny, so good to see you. Deborah Ann Aldridge, yet another Ann. And then Pastor Danielle said, that's exactly what I said, Barrett. See, right there. I love my sister.
Today we're talking about Strive for You.
We're talking about what? If ever I needed a subtitle, it was right there.
Look.
Together, we're talking about Shrom.
Okay, listen. I need a walking translator with me.
That wasn't Mississippi. Times. That was just like something.
I know. I'm not worried about being or concerned about it being from Mississippi. I just, you know, need translators often. We have more people in the comments. Lee says hello from lovely...
Mount Gilead? I think you should pronounce it Gilead.
No, okay. Skylar says, hello. Hello, Skylar. Lisa Lamb says, hi. Dylan Pickett says, hello. That's how I read that. It doesn't matter who...
Mount Gilead? I'm so sorry. Pastor Danny says, listen, Linda.
She does that in, like, here's the deal. We've been married for 12 years. We've dated. Well, that's a long story.
That was rude.
I dated her.
Tea just almost came out my nose.
I dated her. I've been with her for like 14 years. She's been with me for like 13. So, you know, there's a whole year I was dating her. She wasn't dating me.
She was, though, and she knows it.
She does know it, but she would never confess to it. But, like, there's certain people that as I'm reading, because I've gotten to know them, like, I don't hear her say things in my voice or in my head voice. Like, in my brain, I hear her voice actually saying it. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. That happens very often with the stuff that she says.
Deb says, happy birthday to the one, the only Snackosaurus, a.k.a. Joni.
I watched the video that was there. Whoever had that, because they teased her and did the silly putty.
Yep.
Silly
string.
Whoever, they had like the perfect shot. And I'm talking the first one hit her right in the dome. It was funny.
Right in the dome. Pastor Danny says, I almost choked on my lunch.
Seth, that doesn't help me. Seth said, you pronounce it Gil-E-Yad. In my brain, it's Gil-E-Yad. Like, that's how that just came out.
Lord, stick in Pastor Zach's brain that way.
Amen. Amen. This has been a fun time of family so far. Oh, amen. This is going to be a great broadcast today.
Yeah, buddy.
Have you put right in the dome.
Like, right in the dome.
I didn't know if I could say headshot, so I was like, right in the dome will work.
You just did, yeah, so no, either way, here we are.
Oh, man. And the viewership just goes...
No.
I apologize.
It goes up. Abby says, too late.
Amen. Oh, are you ready to get started for today?
Si, senor.
Okay.
Pastor Zach looked at me the other day in worship practice and and told me that this is why he and I sit across the sanctuary from each other during church on Sundays.
I'm not getting in trouble by Pastor.
You better get started then, because we're probably borderline right now.
Yeah, I know. But if we were in service, it would be like, go. And I would have to be like, yes, sir. Like, that's what I got in trouble for school for all the time was that. So, amen. All right. Where do we go? Okay. Today we are going to be talking about why seeking family is key to God's blessing. You will see yesterday on the broadcast, if you go back and watch it, There was a specific word that Brother Brian got from the Lord, and that word was this, that it literally Brother Brian was actually seeing, and he said this. He goes, I can see the commanded blessing getting ready to come up on the body. And as he said that, it was like, whoo, yes, it's coming. But throughout yesterday's broadcast, there was a couple of points that was brought out, and one of them that we want to kind of dance on today, and that is this, that it is the blessing comes through family. And it is so important for us to seek and to strive after unity. Because in Psalms 133, we see, well, and I'll just go ahead and read that for you. My Bible I left on the table this morning because I was studying before I left the house, so I have my trusty iPad with 31% battery. But listen to what it says here. It says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell in unity. Listen to that scripture right there. It says so much about this topic. How good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell in unity. You could change that word dwell to abide. So abide in unity. Live in unity. Stay in the midst of unity. You should be in a constant position of seeking unity. Even if it's something like I've noticed there's been times where like I'm sitting there going, I don't want to do this. Like, I don't know why they're doing that. I don't want to do this. I don't like having to do this. But because I love that person and I want the best for that person, I'll be like, okay, whatever. I may not want to do it, but I'm going to strive to go after that just so that person can be lifted up, just so that person can feel loved, just so that, and every single time that I've done that, there has been an on-time word or something that I personally needed to receive in that moment, because in that unity, there's a goodness, there's a pleasantness that comes from that, and it opens up a flow of the anointing, we'll see in verse 2. And then on that, there's a commanded blessing for life to come. But you see that it says in verse 2, it is like the precious oil upon the head, coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, coming down upon the edges of the robe. So if you're not in unity, if you're just looking at that scripture, unity will allow you to be positioned to receive that flow of the anointing. Because if you're not in unity, you're separate maybe from the one that's carrying the anointing, or you remove yourself from the flow of the anointing. Because what would have happened if there was a piece of that robe that was missing? Well, there would have been the oil up until that point. But had there been a tear, it wouldn't have been under that tear. It wouldn't have been under that because it was an interruption in the flow. There was a block in the flow. Then it says in verse 3, it's like the dew of Hermon coming down upon the mountains of Zion. For the Lord commanded the blessing. He commanded a blessing. Put this in the comments. I am positioned for a commanded blessing.
Yeah.
Commanded blessing is coming your way right now in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm excited about this topic. And just yesterday, as that word, as Brother Brian was just showing what he's seeing, you could sense the flow of the anointing coming off of it, and it was going to stir. But what the Lord was really showing in that it's in the family that blessing is coming.
Yeah. Well, and one of the things that we prayed out this morning at Frontlines Prayer is for us to have eyes to see, and for there just to be a revelation of our identity in Christ. And the reason I bring that up is because what we're talking about, family and unity, that's part of our identity. The word tells us that where the vision is written and made plain, the people who read it may run. And we've been given the just awesome privilege and blessing to live for God on this earth. You know, as His ambassadors, we've been given an ability to not just live on the earth and whatever happens, happens. We've been given an awesome privilege to be God's ambassadors. But as an ambassador, I'm not on assignment by myself. Yes. I'm not sent into a foreign field by myself, by my God. I am sent in a world that I'm not of, but I am sent on assignment with brethren. Just like the verse that Pastor was sharing from Ecclesiastes, 2 days ago. You know, where there's strength in numbers. There's a glory in the multitude. One can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. There's a power that comes through unity. And it's not just a blessing that's able to be received. There's plenty of good things of God that's able for us to receive it whenever we get the gumption to step out in faith and ask for it. But no, God says in the verses that Pastor Zach just read that where there is unity, God commands the blessing. And Brother Brian has taught many times over the years, there's a distinct difference between a blessing that's available and a blessing that's commanded. A blessing that's available, it's there and I can either take it or not. Like this water bottle's here. I either choose to have it or I don't. But someone who purposes to step into unity, unity is not something that just happens. It's something that's cultivated. It's a choice that we sow into. So as we're sowing into unity, as we're sowing into God's ways, God sees that unity and he says, oh, no, I'm not going to allow my people to honor me by stepping into this place of unity without honoring them back. I am commanding the blessing of God upon that group of people. The reason that we're preaching this, I believe, in part this week and releasing this word is because God's giving us the vision fresh for the why. In unity, there is such a level of blessing, of increase, of power that's produced, that's dynamic in its working, and it's got to become real and on the inside of us, because without understanding the why, I'm going to be really tempted with the winds and the waves to just throw unity out the window. But when the why is in front of my face and I understand the picture of what I'm pursuing, there's nothing and no one that's going to knock me off of pursuing unity.
Yes. So now think about this. What I want to do is, well, just as you were ministering, I know that teaching that Brother Brian has shown about the commanded blessing. But it just bubbled up in me, and it kind of was just kind of like, hey, I'm going to use a different way of teaching it that the Lord just showed me that I was like, Lord, that is awesome. Thank you for showing me that. But so understand this, like I'm going to read Galatians 3:7. It says this, therefore be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham, right? And then you see that verse 8, the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you.
Yeah.
All right, so think about this. Every person to have ever been born after, just in the natural, we're not counting spiritual at the moment, so just all of Abraham's children, there was a flow of blessing that was on them because it was on the father.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hear that. Just because their father was Abraham, there was a flow of blessing that came on them, regardless of anything else, just because of their connection, just because they were family to Abraham. Now, we have that same through faith, by faith. But we kind of look at this topic and we kind of go, oh, okay, is this really such a big topic? Do I really have to pursue family in this way? Do I really have to, what's the big deal about the commanded blessing? And as I was just sitting there, I was just kind of like, the Lord brought it up. He goes, teach it from the perspective of sin. And I was like, well, I don't want to change it from the perspective of blessing to the the sin. But the Lord was showing me this, and he just showed me Romans 5. And I'm going to read some of these scriptures. And you'll see that because of what Adam did, like think about this. We're talking about a commanded blessing, a blessing that cannot be stopped, not just one that's available, but one that it is through the generations, it is promised, it is given, regardless of what's taking place, regardless of what's happening, there is a blessing for them. Now keep in mind, we see this blessing come upon Abraham in Genesis 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. And they're not righteous people. They're not considered saved. Abraham was, but they're not redeemed as we are. This is something that goes beyond even this blessing that came on Abraham. But you see here in Romans 5 Just listen to this. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Now, in the negative sense of unity, what that is saying is that everybody was unified under the flow of sin, and because of what Adam did, there was a flow of sin that wormed its way through every, every generation, right? That is, now I'm going to flip it on us in just a second, right? For until, this is verse 13, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. So listen to what that said. This came on people that didn't even do the sin that Adam did. But because of the flow, because we're talking about in Psalms 133, that the anointing came upon the beard, it came upon him, and it flowed down even to the most outer fringes of the robe. And in that unity, that commanded blessing is given. So what you see is that this is a principle that once you start seeing the depths of this commanded blessing, it's not just for you. But it's for generations and generations and generations and generations and generations to the nth degree, because there's this commanded blessing. It's a blessing that is continually released to you. It continually has to go. It cannot be stopped. And the only way it is stopped is when covenant is broken or when unity is broken and we're not striving after that. But as long as there is a striving to come after unity, there's a continual flow of this blessing, and it's nothing can stop it, regardless of what takes place. But then there's this one other scripture that I wanted and the Lord showed me how to flip it back over. So you see, there's the side that I'm talking about here in the natural with the sin. But then verse 17. For if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. Oops, I hit the wrong button. That's why I don't like using iPads. So then, as through one transgression there resulted in condemnation to all man, even so through one act of righteousness there results justification for life to all men. So you see right here, there is a commanded blessing. Right here in Scripture, there's a commanded blessing on Jesus that when we step into Him and we receive Him, there is a commanded blessing of fullness of life, of great life, of great abundance. Life on the level of God, God-like life, Zoe life, to have it to the full, till it overflows, is what John 10:10 says. So this understanding of commanded blessing, there's pieces of it that we're actually operating in just because of unity with Jesus. But the scripture there is saying that that's just the beginning stages of this commanded blessing. There's parts of the commanded blessing that as you begin to seek it and as you begin to give yourself from family, there's an iron that is coming out of Barrett to sharpen me. There's an iron that's coming out of me to sharpen her. There's an iron that is produced in you, and it's ironing, sharpening iron. And there's a blessing that begins to flow. And once it goes, there's nothing, there's no power, there's nothing that could stop that commanded blessing from manifesting.
Well, and with this particular passage of scripture as well, I've written out in the side of my Bible, the Lord, as I've read this before, what He's highlighted to me is that it only takes one man.
Yeah.
So we see in all the Pastor Zach just read, it took one man for that sin to enter the world. But if you take this from the perspective of the blessing of God, it took one man in Jesus to choose to be in such unity with the brethren, such unity with the body, that He laid His life down to serve them. And in the natural, in that moment, while He was hanging on the cross, it didn't look victorious. But one man chose to pursue unity, and it changed the world. It opened up our access to step into a oneness with each other, but a oneness that is headed up by Jesus Himself. So the reason I bring this up is because a lot of times when we start talking about unity, at least for me, and I'll just share from my perspective, a lot of times when pastors preached on unity and the blessing that comes from unity and all that's available to the body of Christ in unity, like when you start reading through the scripture and you see in Acts chapter 2, the picture of what the church looks like, when all were gathered together, sharing all things in common, constantly breaking bread, devoted to the teaching of the apostles, and fellowshipping together constantly, living together constantly, advancing the kingdom of God, so much so that God was adding to their number day by day. This is available to us. And Pastor Brian and Pastor Nicole would be teaching on this. Other mighty men and women of God would be teaching on this. And my flesh's reaction would be to get frustrated, not at the Lord, but at other people. Because I'd look and be like, well, this person isn't in unity with me, and this person isn't in unity with the church, and this person barely comes to the church. So when are we ever going to get unified, God? And eventually, it did led to me getting frustrated with the Lord and frustrated with the people that I'm called not just to live with, I'm called to serve. Like in a body, the greatest is a servant. And my heart is to serve the people that I am in a covenant connection with. And what looking at others through this wrong lens does is it immediately places a division in there. And what the Lord has used, this particular passage of scripture that Pastor Zach just brought out, what he has used to teach me is that it only takes one man.
Yeah.
It only takes one man to turn the tide. It only takes one man to sow. It only takes one on fire person to catch others on fire. The greatest way to see the fire of God spread in your church, to see it spread in your family, in the places where you work and serve and go to school, the greatest way for that to happen, the greatest way to see unity spread is by putting it on myself. Regardless of what other people do, other people could wrong me, other people could step out of unity, but what I've learned, if I've learned nothing else from pastors, and I've learned so much, one of the greatest things I've learned is how to consistently be a person of honor and unity, even when others turn their backs on them. Mm-hmm. I've watched men and women come in through this church and leave. I've watched the worst things be said of pastors Brian and Nicole, like just horrible things. And yet I've watched pastors Brian and Nicole, after these things have been said to them, go up and sow seeds of unity and sow seeds of love into these people. I've watched this decision leave the door open for repentance so that some of these people who negatively spoke of them and left them and XYZ, I've watched them come back and repent to Brother Brian and Sister Nicole, and the floodgates of the anointing open up, and I've watched their lives increase because they Brother Brian and Sister Nicole refused to burn a bridge. It only takes one person to step into unity, regardless of what other people choose to do. I can be in unity with the vision that I'm in. I can be in unity with the brothers and sisters I'm in the church with, no matter what they do. If I will be a person of unity, that unity will start to have ripple effects.
Correct.
That love will start to have ramifications. There will be seeds that I plant that spring forth fruit and spring forth life. So don't grow weary in your unity. Don't grow weary in your sowing. Don't grow weary in your love. Yeah. Continue to be a person of unity. Continue to be a person of love. Continue to sow. No matter what you see, think, or feel, do what's right, and God will back you every time, and the fruit of unity will come up. How are we in this place right now where Brother Brian can see a vision of the commanded blessing coming on this body? Because Brother Brian and Sister Nicole chose to be people of unity and people of honor, integrity, love. They were that one person that sowed. But now, glory be to God, there's so many more with us than there ever were against us. Glory to God that there is a rising up of the remnant that will be these people of unity as well. Be that one person in your circle.
Amen. Like what you just said is huge, because a lot of times people will go like, we was listening to a call this morning, and a similar question was asked, like, what if nobody else, basically, this is how the hunger, the question was, what if nobody else is hungry? Well, you be hungry. you be hungry, and all of a sudden that hunger is going to jump off on people.
Yes.
It is impossible for a fire not to spread unless it is completely not around. If you take a fire, a match, and you just throw it out and where there's nothing around, nothing's going to catch fire.
Yes.
But you take that same match and you put it into a field that there's fuel there, there's something for it to grab a hold to. This is what's going to happen. That field will catch on fire.
Yes.
And a lot of times what I've seen is not that the fact that they're not hungry, they may have grown weary, but they need that encouragement of somebody that is doing it and doing it right,
yeah,
that'll ignite them and get them going. That's a blessing that takes place. And then that begins to, you think about that. Think about this. Like, you look at the man of God like Billy Graham. You look at these men that saved, like, literally was able to take the gospel to millions, like millions of people. And I've thought about this before. Who was the man of God that, or woman of God, that led Billy Graham to the Lord?
Sunday school teacher, right?
Right. So you look at that, then all of a sudden, the... Maybe, and I don't know the story, but sure, you look at that, just hear what Barrett said. It was that one that connected with Billy Graham,
yeah,
that burst something in him, that got the flow of the anointing into him, and then all of a sudden, yes, you have millions of people,
yeah,
that come to know the Lord, all because there was a connection made in that one place. That's what you're talking about. Be that one person that's not looking at the situation, but they're looking at, not looking at the flesh of someone, what they're doing. They're looking at, no, I may not like actions. Okay, whatever. I don't care about that. I love that person.
Yeah.
I'm going to seek unity with them. And all of a sudden, it begins to open up a flow of the anointing,
yeah,
that completely changes millions of people's lives in that one setting,
yes,
in that one moment.
Yes. Well, Pastor Brian just put in the comments, I don't know if this is the context of what he's saying, but as I read it, this is what the Holy Spirit was saying to me. He said, I'm thinking about it. And how I'm reading that is, the reason that he and Sister Nicole are able to be men and women of unity is because they constantly are keeping it in front of their faces.
Yeah.
They're constantly thinking about it. Every opportunity, like I've one of the teachings Brother Brian's done is every opportunity where maybe someone does wrong to me,
mm-hmm,
and I'm paraphrasing this in my words, Brother Brian, if there's a simpler way, feel free to put it in the comments, please. But every opportunity where someone could do something wrong to me is an opportunity where they have now given me a legal right to inject the grace and goodness of God back into them.
Yeah.
Because they've sown something, I now determine what I'm going to respond with.
Yeah.
And I've watched Brother Brian and Sister Nicole keep it in front of their eyes. Unity in the kingdom is so vital because Jesus literally says the world will know us by our unity.
Yeah.
Like talking about the unity he had with the Father.
Yeah.
The unity we have with each other, the unity we have with each other and the Lord, it paints a picture to the world of the unity and the love and the goodness of God. And he tells us in Ephesians 1 that God, that there is an administration suitable,
yeah,
to the fullness of the times that we're in. God thinks that way. He provides us clarity to see what that plan of God is for how to effectively live for him in the times that we're in.
Yeah.
And that plan that God has laid out is for each one of us to get a revelation of who we are. And part of that revelation is that we are unified, the body of Christ. We are,
mm-hmm,
one body with one mind, with,
yeah,
one voice, with one sound. I'm not crying out one thing, and Pastor Zach's not crying out another, and Hannah's not crying out something else. We've got one mind, and that mind is the kingdom. We've got one purpose, advancing the kingdom, winning souls, making disciples for Jesus. We each have that same core vision, that same core mandate. It's in the word. God has given us directives and directions. And if the enemy can keep us focused on all these little things, so that way I'm just focused on my group and Pastor Zach's just focused on his group and Hannah's focused on her group. And all I do is look at my personal goals and my personal assignments. Yeah. And I never look beyond myself, then I'm not properly in unity. But truly, the word tells us if one falls down, the others help him back up. If one, where there is weakness, God shows himself strong. I'm not separate from my body. I'm keeping it in front of my face that unity is necessary, because the world will testify of the goodness of God because of the unity we have with one another. The world will glorify God because they see the unity that we have with him and with each other. Yes. We paint a picture to the world of God's goodness when we step into unity, that we are a living, breathing portrait of who God is. Other people are watching and receiving from us. Yeah. And our job is to receive the fullness of Christ so that we can then administer the fullness of Christ to others. And if I'm a person of offense, if I'm a person of pride, if I'm focused on only myself, I'm not painting an effective picture of who God is. I'm not living it. I'm not demonstrating it. But when I become about unity and I become about others, then I'm upholding the quote unquote golden rule of Jesus. What commandments are greatest? Love the Lord your God with all your mind, heart, will, strength. Love him with all that you are. And then the second is love your neighbor as yourself. All of the commandments of God are summed up in these two things. Love God, love others.
Yes.
Love God, love others.
Yes.
Love God, love others. And if I'll do those two things, the world will know of the goodness of God. I'll be such a light that nothing in the world can hide me. And it's not me, it's him. It's his glory, his goodness, his awesomeness coming through the unity that we have together. But it's intentional. It will not just happen. It takes effort. Just like when you're married, I do not become unified with my husband because I wear a ring. I am in unity as I sow myself into him, and I invest into that relationship, and I purpose to bless him, and I purpose to put on unity, and I purpose to believe the best. And marriage is built. It's not just established by one day of choice. Similarly, in the body of Christ, we don't just get into unity because Jesus is Lord. We should, but it requires us to, on purpose, be intentional. Think about it. Sow toward it.
Yeah.
Invest in the unity of the brethren, because the world is waiting to see the power and blessing that flows from it.
It's intentional.
It's intentional.
It's something that, when you first start this, is something you are going to have to work at.
Yes.
Some people, it's like, it's easy. There's others that you kind of go, well, you're thinking of experiences that may have taken place, or you may think of, well, this is how I grew up. And really and truly, that's not the way we should be thinking. That is literally the definition of, this is my experience, and your experience begins to come over what the word says to do.
Yeah.
And just like Ephesians 4:3, I read a little bit ago, but I'm just going to read a couple of these verses. And just because when you said that it's intentional, and then you think about our title today, it says this: why seeking family and unity is key to God's blessing.
Yeah.
Why is it a key? Because it's within that family. It's within pursuing unity. It's where that commanded blessing begins to be commanded, a flow from heaven, from God himself. This is it. It's like God himself caters this blessing, and who's going to stand in front of God and tell him no?
Right.
Nobody. So it's like he is personally carrying the blessing straight to you, straight to the body that you're connected in. But go back to the part where you said about, is something that you have to intentionally, you have to in, just how you intentionally seek the Lord. You don't wander around and finally somehow be, oh, I want to find the Lord. No, there's an intentional seeking that must take place. Verse 1 of Ephesians 4. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility, all gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, it didn't say this, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk worthy, you know, Ephesians, all right, we know who the pastor there, that was, you know, Pastor Timothy. And he didn't say, all right, Pastor Timothy, I want you to strive for unity in all of your people. This is a letter that was written to the saints, to the church at Ephesus. So this just wasn't to the leader there. This was to every single part of the body. And Paul is given this command, walk in a worthy manner, walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. So, okay, church at Ephesus, you have been called to a level. You have been called to a certain level that you need to be operating in. And that level is the level of the Lord. Walk worthy in the manner of what you have been called. With humility, with gentleness, with patience, and showing tolerance for one another in love. So what does intentionality look like? Those things. I'm gonna stay in a position of humility.
Yeah.
I'm going to stay in a position to where I'm humble and I'm willing to receive from anybody regardless of my position, regardless of my stature, regardless if I've been a Christian for 50 years, regardless if, like, regardless of whatever the case may be, there's a position of humility that you stay in. And when you stay in that position, you're open to a flow from any direction at any given time so you can hear from the Lord clearly to do what you need to do or go help your part of the body. The next one, it says, and gentleness. This is one, gentleness has been a fun one, because growing up, I didn't understand gentleness. Gentleness was me. You get popped upside the head and no, it doesn't matter. Like, you kind of suck it up kind of deal. But there's a gentleness that it's talking about here. And one of the ways that I've looked at that is stop thinking the worst about every single person and when they do something. Be gentle. Be willing to let your guard down some. Now, I know that's not the fullness of it, but be willing to let your guard down some and be gentle just because it's happened. Just because, let's say Barrett said something to me one time that somebody that wronged me in my past. There's a potential there to take up an offense and just be like, okay, I'm done. Well, one, I'm not being gentle with you. I'm not being gentle with myself. I'm not being gentle with that person. And really, I'm in a really bad situation because I never forgave that person. And I'm still harboring that in there. And then it says, with patience. Then it says, showing tolerance for one another in love. Then you look at this, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is a unity that we can get to. And then it keeps on going. I'll just read verse 4, 5 and 6. There is one body, one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. You see this taking place in the Scripture. That there is a manifestation that happens when you become to be unified.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, there's literally nothing that I think consistently of the Tower of Babel. Now, this is the negative sense of unity, but they were so unified that God ordered these words. There's nothing they can't do. Like, you think about God, like, basically, like, think about this. They didn't have the technology that we do. But God said, if we don't confuse them, they're going to get here. They're like, because their whole thing, I'm going to build a stairway to heaven. Now, I know some people, well, they wasn't legitimately talking about heaven. You can say what you want to, whether they was just trying to build a really tall building or they was literally trying to build a staircase to heaven or whatever the case. But God said, because of their unity, they will pull it off. These are unrighteous people.
Yes.
What happens when righteous people that have an anointing, that have a power, that have a flow, come together in that kind of unity. If that's what unrighteous people can do when they're in unity, what can people that are righteous do in unity?
Yeah.
There's a flow of the anointing that we've not tapped into in a corporate setting in unity, and even in just in a flow individually just for being connected, because unity has been something that has been that has not been pursued. It's been kind of like a, oh, I'm going to rub my shoulder with her. Okay, I got a touch. I'm good. But no, there when righteous people get unified, there is a it will literally check 12 people, 13 including Jesus, 14 if you want to do that. Well, there were 13. Literally, Jesus, with those 12 and Jesus unified, literally changed the world.
Yeah.
To this day, it is still changing because of the decisions that Jesus and the disciples made and the disciples choosing to follow him. We are that's one of the commanded blessings there that you see is like, no, because of your unity, because you're pursuing after Jesus, because you're pursuing love, because you're pursuing that, I'm going to cause a grace to come upon you.
Yeah.
But if that's what I've thought about this for years, if them in their unrighteous state was able to be so unified that the Lord God said, I've got to cause confusion, because if I don't cause confusion, they're going to do and they're going to the task that they set out to do, it will come to pass. That was, if that's what unrighteous people in unity have the ability to do, what can righteous people do when we get unified?
Yeah.
What is the commanded blessing? Because you look at this, they were in unity, and really it was a blessing for them. It was, negative sense, but the blessing was, I need to cause them to not be able to speak to each other. But God goes, ooh, my children, they're unified. I'm going to cause a blessing to come upon them, and this world's about to be shaped by these people. There's a fullness in that that I know that I don't have revelation on. Like, as I'm thinking about it, I'm like, Lord, everything would change when that took place. When that takes place, and you said it one time on a broadcast when I first started coming around that you did research on, and it was about soul winning. We was doing a week of soul winning on the broadcast, not going out, but just discussing it. And I want to say that you said... I think you said that if every believer got unified...
If every believer would lead one person each day to the Lord, and then those new believers would join it would take, I believe, of the people who profess Jesus as Lord... Last time I asked ChatGPT, it would take 2.5 weeks for the entire world to be evangelized.
Now, think about this. Think about what you just said. There's 8 billion people in the world, give or take some. Mm-hmm. If the Christians that are alive right now.
That's great now.
Yeah, if the Christians are alive right now said, we all get unified around this and say, you know what? I'm going after the Lord right now, and I'm going to go after winning souls. Literally, in 2 weeks, we would have 8 billion people evangelized. What you want to talk about a revival? You want to talk an outpouring? You want to talk about a flow of the anointing that's coming from heaven? When you start getting those kind of souls won, those kind of the kingdom expanding like that, there's going to be a flow of the anointing from heaven, and it all starts in unity. It comes from a place of unity and position of unity. Do you have it up now?
It's coming.
It's coming.
They're doing math.
Oh, yep. They're good at doing math sometimes. But just think about it. I'm going to read these scriptures one more time as she's doing that. It's Ephesians 4:1. I'm going to stop at verse 3. Got it?
Uh-huh.
Go ahead.
It's much smaller. So per ChatGPT, it says, here's the assumption. Our current world population is about 8 billion people. The number of professing Christians are about 2.4 billion. Like, so that's like the people that list themselves and at least say on paper that they are a Christian. If each one won one person to Christ, 2 days.
Whoa.
2 days.
2 days. 2 days.
This is the assumption based on polling numbers that they're pulling from. Either way, whatever number you want to go with, it's not going to take long. That's the summary we can take away. If people would catch the revelation of who they are and we would get about the Father's business keeping the vision of the kingdom in front of our eyes and letting go of petty stuff that doesn't matter, letting go of petty offenses and just being about the Father's business, we would be in heaven. Like that. It would not take long.
2 days. 2 days.
Per ChatGPT.
I just had leading. I'm going to read these scriptures and then I believe the Lord. Yeah.
Can I share one thing first? Is that okay? Before Pastor Zach wraps this up, just as the Lord was talking through Pastor Zach, one of the things with unity that's so powerful is we are sharing one vision. So like we have a commonality that's among us. We have one thing in, like we have things in common. We're not going about multiple visions. In the body of Christ, we've got one vision. We have one Lord. We have one Master. And that Lord, he appoints leaders, and there's like special forces missions within the body of Christ. Like here at this ministry, we have a vision and a calling and an assignment, but it's all contained within the greater vision of the kingdom of God. So the reason I'm bringing that up is because in the local body, the reason that the planting in the local body is so important is because we need to be, as we're given to the vision that we're planted in, we start having a support system like nobody's business. And a lot of times what I've seen in the world is people looking for a support system, people looking for family, people looking for love, people looking for those who will believe in them, people looking for those that'll help them get through life. It's not like at 18 years old, we're just downloaded with this roadmap of how to live and we never need help ever again. No, we need iron sharpening iron. We need the older, more experienced, wise people to come alongside us and to train us, continue to train us up as disciples in this earth. I'm thinking about a recent example where Pastor Nicole, here in this ministry, there was an opportunity somebody had, and she went on our ladies' line and she cast some vision. She gave some very explicit, like, or not explicit, very direct instructions on here's how you pray, here's how we're going to believe, here's how you can tangibly help, here's what you do. And I'm watching the responses of all these people, and I, as someone who loves the brethren I'm planted with, I'm thinking of what I would be feeling, what I would be receiving if I was in their position. And I'm sitting there praising God, literally driving home, praising God, because I'm not even this person. And I'm drawing strength from the unity that I'm seeing in the house that I'm planted in. And instead of feeling like, oh my gosh, I'm in this alone, this person knows I've got an army of people rallying around me, that when I may feel weak, when I may feel vulnerable, the body that I'm planted in will not let me be vulnerable. The body that I'm planted in will not let me be exposed to the world's elements. If I'm in unity with them, if I'm planted properly, then there may be winds and waves that try to come against me, but the body that I'm in is going to come around me and surround me. I'm not going to be left exposed to the enemy just whipping my tail and they're going to sit back and watch. No, no, in a proper family, in a proper planting, in proper unity, there is a strengthening. There's an equipping. Yeah. There's a surrounding. There's a great lifting up. There's a force field a prayer that covers the body, and there's tangible help that's sent to aid them. That's what proper unity is. It's not just an action of I get slapped on the face and then I turn the cheek to get slapped the other way. I believe the best in all situations, but the benefits are I'm no longer alone in the world. It's no longer just me and Jesus. It's no longer just me, my four, no more. I've got an army of God that surrounds me at all times.
Yes.
How could I fail? I can't. There's no option for fail. There's too much strength that is around me. There's too much supply in the planting. There's too much for me to fail. I'm going to increase regardless of what I see in front of me, solely because I'm given to the unity of the soil, and the soil will uphold me.
Yes. And that's exactly what the Lord points out in this scripture right here. Amen. What you just said is, listen to what, this is like, I'm going to read this and understand, this is not Pastor Zach talking, this is God.
Yeah.
This is, obviously Holy Spirit wrote it, but you're going to see it says, the Lord, in all capital letters. That's like, that when it says the Lord like that in all capital letters, that is like, this is a statement from God Almighty Himself. This is, so you can find the story in Genesis 11. I'm not going to read the first two verses, and I'm not going to read the entirety of it, but I do want to read these scriptures real quick. Verses 3 through about 6. They said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they used bricks, brick for stone, and they used tar for mortar. They said, so now notice this, they came together in one. They said to one another. Yeah. So there is a commonality, like you were talking about, in amongst them. It was like, you know what? We don't want to be scattered all throughout. We love each other. We want to be around each other. We don't want to go far off. Let's all come together in this one valley, in this one place, as they were traveling, and we're going to build a nation right here.
Yes.
Right? Excuse me. They said, come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower. Now listen to this. Whose top will reach into heaven? And let us make for ourselves a name. So notice they're all about themselves in this moment. But notice what they are wanting to do. This was the vision that everybody that was alive at this point was about.
Yeah.
They wanted to build a city. They wanted to build a tower whose top would reach heaven. Now, you can say, people say, well, that was figuratively. They couldn't have done it. Well, okay, whatever. And then you go here, and let us make for ourselves a name. Otherwise, we will be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. They saw, even in their unrighteousness, if we don't have a place of unity, it will cause a scattering to take place, and we will be scattered, we'll be separate, and we will not have any name, we will not have any power, we will not have any authority. Yeah. There'll be nothing good to come from this, right? Verse 5 says this, the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. The Lord said, behold, all right, this is the Lord speaking, this is the Lord God talking, behold, they are one people. What God was saying in that moment, these people are unified.
Yeah.
There's not a separate vision. There's not a separate direction. This person doesn't have this vision. This person doesn't have this vision. They have come together. They are one. There's no separatism in there. They're all one, right? And they all have the same language.
Yeah.
So not only are they one, they're speaking the vision. They're speaking in this direction. We're going that direction. We're going to do this. One may have had a bad day. No, it's okay. We know. We got you. We're headed in this direction. Yeah. We got this. So they're all together as one. They're speaking the same language. Then it goes on. And this is what they began to do. And now nothing. This is God talking. And now nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them.
Yes.
This is God Almighty saying, because of their unity and because of them coming together, there is nothing that they come together in unity to do that they will not be able to pull off.
Yeah.
That they will not be able to do. That they will not be able to accomplish. That basically, God says, it's impossible for them to lose.
Yes.
Unless I step in and I cause what we see in verse 7, I'm going to have to confuse their language because their hearts are off. Their hearts are unrighteous. They're all about themselves. They're not coming after me. They're doing this to make a name for themselves, not to glorify my name. They're trying to reach the heavens. They're trying to do that to say, look at what I have the capability to do and not look at what God did through me. He goes, I've got to handle this because they are so powerful. They are so unified. They are together as one that nothing they do can be stopped. Mm-hmm. It is impossible, basically, and I'm not trying to add words to God's mouth, but basically the Lord was saying, it doesn't matter. They will not lose. They will not falter. They will not break. There's nothing that happened. Whatever they've set their mind to is accomplishing.
Yeah.
So he says, come, let us go down there and confuse their language so that they will not understand one another's speech. So all of a sudden, see this. Like you saw, they was together, unified, but their speech changed, right? When one thing kind of gets out of whack, it breaks that unity. So you strive in all occasions to seek unity. They still had the same vision. They still wanted it to accomplish. But when one of those things that they had to seek unity on, now think about this, could they have ended up figuring out how to communicate to each other? I'm sure if they put their mind to it, we have.
Yeah.
Have we not? Like, there's people that knows other languages. They figured out a way to communicate a way. They could have, like, you know, like, pointing and simply, and they could have, like, took the brick and put it where to go. Would it have taken longer? Yeah. But in that one moment, there was like a grain of sand got in there. There was something that got in there and caused it off, and it splintered the vision. It splintered what they were wanting to do.
Yeah.
But God said, if I don't break up their language, if I don't keep them, it basically, I'm going to have to bring confusion amongst them, because if not, there's nothing that they can do. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that they cannot do.
Yeah.
And that's what the Lord is trying to teach us in throughout this week, is that he wants this family to come together, because he is positioning us in a place where we cannot help but to win.
Yeah.
Where it is impossible for us to lose.
Yeah.
It is impossible for not to have the fullness of our destinies in manifestation. It is impossible not to fully carry out the fullness of what he's called Boomerang Church International to do, what he's called What's Right Ministries to do. It's impossible for you not to be able to carry out exactly what God has purposed and called for you to do in your own personal life. And that happens in your family. That happens in seeking the family and seeking unity.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all ready to receive? No. I mean, when I say receive, I'm not preaching. Just get ready to receive what the Lord's about to do. Because like Pastor said yesterday, Pastor said this. He could see God pouring out the blessing. Those words, when he said that, I was like, like, he could see God positioning himself like, and he's pouring out a blessing. I'm seeking unity. I've been in the habit of seeking unity, but no, I'm going to the next level with it. I'm going higher in that. How can I strive for unity more? Mm-hmm. How can I seek unity more? So y'all just get ready and we'll pray. And as we pray, just get ready to receive that, because you are positioned to receive a commanded blessing. You want to pray us out?
Yeah. Well, just like this morning, for anybody who's on right now, just lift your hands, if you will. And one of the things that the Lord brought out this morning in Frontlines Prayer is that today's a day of breakthrough.
Yeah.
There's a breakthrough anointing today. There's a breakthrough in us receiving our identity and us receiving who we're called to be in Christ. So right now, just lift your hands. Let's all lift our hands. And I want you to pray this out with me. A lot of times, and hear me, it's not wrong to receive a prayer, but there's also a faith engagement that comes prior to receiving. There's always an action that we take in coming to God. So right now, let's take an action. And as we're lifting our hands, pray this with me and say, Jesus, I ask right now that you forgive me for ever having not been a person of unity. I ask, Lord, that today you empower me to receive the revelation of who you've called me to be, that you enlighten my eyes, give me vision, give me wisdom on what unity is and how to walk in it. I declare now, in the name of Jesus, I am and will be from this moment onward a person of unity. I am a person of unity. Now, Lord, for every person that's released their faith to become a person of unity, I ask right now in the name of Jesus that you release the anointing. Give them the spirit of seeing, knowing, and understanding.
Yeah.
Let them see how to put on the fruit of unity. Let them know how to walk it out. Let them understand how to believe the best at all times. Let each one of us, let there be a breakthrough anointing today to break through any hardness, break through anything that was standing in the way of family, break through anything that was standing in the way of revelation, yeah. Break through any weapon of the enemy, break through now in the name of Jesus, and let your anointing, let it just come in gently, lovingly, with the grace and the love of God. Let it spread like a warm balm on their hearts. Let any areas, thank you, Lord, any areas where man has failed in some way, shape, or form, any area that's caused a hardness, that has caused a fear of being in proper unity, that's caused a fear of exposure, let that fear be destroyed in the love of God today. Let the love break through all the hardness. Let the love break through all the muck. Let the love of God break through to the heart and core of every man and woman watching. And let that healing balm of the anointing soothe those roughened places. Soothe those things that have tried to be briars against the things of God. Soothe and remove. Soothe and remove. Soothe and remove. Soothe and remove in the name of Jesus. And today, let that love, let that conviction, let that heart of God rise up now on the inside of every one of us. A heart that chooses unity. At all times, we receive the heart of God. And just say that. I receive your heart right now, Lord. You are a God of unity, Father. And we thank you that we're made in your image and your likeness. You chose to be in unity with us time after time after time. When we were your enemies, you chose unity. We choose unity with you and with the body and with those that you died for. We choose love. We choose to believe the best. We choose the vision of God that we're planted in, and we will walk it out. We will bear the fruit of God on this earth, and the world will know us by the fruit of unity that's produced out of us. Now, Lord, as we're in this place of positioning, I ask, as we assemble together this Sunday, and as our sister churches assemble together this Sunday, let there be a release of the commanded blessing of God this Sunday in the name. Let your will be done in full, not in part. As much of you as we can receive, let that commanded blessing come. And we thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Whew. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Oh, amen. God is so good. He's so faithful. We want to thank you for joining us today. Just thank you for being a part of the Lunch Plus family, of the Boomerang Church International family, the What's Right family, the family of God. We thank you so much for that. And what you purposing to watch this, you purposing to sow your time into this, sow your lunch into this. If you would like to sow today into the broadcast, we'll put it up in the lower third there. There's multiple different ways to be able to give. But if you would like to sow, we want to invite you to. You do not have to. We sow this into you completely free. We're not trying to get something from you. We're trying to get something to you. But if you would like to sow into that, you can go ahead and we'll put it up now. And what we're going to do, we're going to turn it over to Hannah. She's going to pray a prayer of blessing on that seed and tell you about some things that we have upcoming in the very near future. We love y'all so much. We'll see you tomorrow for another on-time word here at Lunch Plus.
Hello, everyone. Let's go ahead and bless that seed. You can partner your faith with ours in this moment. Lord, thank you for every person sowing into this soil. We thank you that it is good soil, producing harvest, producing testimonies, producing healing, producing lives changed. We thank you that this seed from today would be pressed down, shaken together, and running over a harvest of which man has not seen or heard in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. We have a few announcements for you. Coming up first is going to be this weekend, starting tomorrow, in Roxboro, North Carolina. Kingdom Ministry Affiliation will be meeting for a leadership conference. It's going to be starting tomorrow evening at 7, and then on Saturday there will be, I believe, like a breakfast starting at 9. It'll probably go till about probably 1 p.m., but that would be awesome if you could make it. If not, I know they'll be streaming it online as well. But then we also have our financial breakthrough meetings coming up with Pastor Eddie Smith. We'll be hosting that here at Boomerang Church, Albemarle, North Carolina. That's going to be May 4th through the 7th. It's going to be a powerful, powerful time for us to just get even more revelation of how to come up with our finances. We also have partner camp meeting. That's going to be August 6th through the 8th here at Boomerang Church, Albemarle, North Carolina. This is open to our partners, but if you have not partnered yet with this ministry, if it's just been stirring in your heart, just to come and see what's going on here, then we'd love to have you as well. It's not partner exclusive. We would love for you to be able to come as well, just to see what's going on here at Boomerang Church, and what in the world is a Boomerang Church? Come find out at partner camp meeting, and also we'll dive into the What's Right ministry and just the vision that is truly in this ministry. A lot is going on, praise God. But until all of that happens, we will have 6 a.m. Frontlines Prayer here on the Brian Wright YouTube channel. That will be tomorrow morning. We have that every weekday, and then we'll have our noon broadcast on Lunch Plus. So there's a lot to feed on, guys. But we love you so much. We will see you tomorrow. Be blessed. Have a wonderful day.
Never, 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 never